and teaching materials. Conservative Theological University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion. Just before the top of the hour news, we're talking with Greg, and we'll continue that conversation with him. Greg, I'm sorry for the interruption. If you will pick up where you left off and continue our dialogue and discussion.
Well, a limited federal government, a constitutionally limited federal government, would not be doing many of the things that this government for many decades has been doing. If you apply clearly the 10th Amendment, which makes it clear that the federal government has a limited role, and what's not specifically given to them, delegated to them, is reserved for the states and the people. That's not what we're seeing today. We have a government that's so expanded, it's in every element of your life, all the way down to your kitchen, all the way down to your refrigerator and your pantry. And people have become dependent upon government. That's the hallmark of a socialist system, is where there's such a interdependence and codependence that people feel it. And of course, they, as I said, in the Obama administration, they did their best to make it hurt as much as possible. Chuck Schumer's not the same position. The Democrats are not the same position to make it hurt so much right now. And Trump, has been pretty slick in the way he's handled this, all the way down to the $130 million contribution from a gazillionaire donor to make sure that the military received their paychecks. But think about it. The people in some of these extremely blue districts, highly dense districts, major metro areas, they'll use any excuse to burn the city to the ground and to loot. And a friend of mine that's written a whole bunch of books on the subject said, you know what, Greg, they do that with full bellies. I wonder what they're going to do when their EBT cards don't work. And I thought, what an observation. What an observation. Well, there's an old saying that a government that's big enough to give you everything you want is also big enough to take everything that you have. And, we have an interesting dynamic today, because the Democratic Party has aligned with socialist and communist openly. It's not just your Bernie Sanders and AOCs. It's this Mamdani thing. And Mamdani represents two different distinctly anti-American groups, radical Islam and communism. Both have the same objective, and that is to tear this nation to the ground. And in the biggest, the apple, the big apple, in the biggest center of capitalism and Western civilization in the entire world, in the Big Apple, in New York City, we're about to see an Islamist communist running the show. Folks, you couldn't make this stuff up. This is complete insanity. And the we're sowing to the wind. We're about to reap to the whirlwind in this next few years.
Absolutely. And Greg, let's go back to a point for just a moment. You touched on about the EBT cards and the refrigerator being empty, et cetera, et cetera. I'm looking at a headline that says, "Get out there and ravish. Woman out of food stamp shows off stolen goods, urges others to steal, and will infiltrate churches for cash." 4 weeks into the federal government shutdown, a woman claiming she's out of food stamps is bragging online about stealing from a grocery store while urging others to steal at will and, quote, infiltrate the churches and get cash. It's mine now, and I want it. That's what we should be preaching in the land today, she said. Take it for yourself, and you won't be worried about don't got it. She says, you see what I'm saying, get out there and ravish the nation. Last but not least, go into the churches, infiltrate the churches. Don't be stupid. Get in there. Get the money. Ask them for rent and get them to help you. You've been tithing, so you have a right to get what you want to pay your bills. You need food? Go to the church. Get it. She concluded by saying, if the pastor don't help you, blast him on social media. And it goes on and on. And the entire article is laced with vile, vulgar, filthy dialogue and communication this person has. Here's another one, Greg. I'm going to lay them both on you and then get your take on it, because I'm concerned about the potentiality of where we're going. Delectable crackers. A black woman threatens to hunt down, roast, and eat white people if the government assistance is taken away from her. With the government shutdown and federal food assistance about to vanish, disturbing videos are emerging with one black woman threatening to hunt down, roast, and eat all white people, and another threatening to kill anyone who tries to stop looting. In this video, a woman addresses the white man in the U.S., "I'm here to let you know that we're going to eat regardless, even if we have to hunt you down as animals and roast you and eat you, the delectable crackers and cheese you are." And I could go on and on with the vulgar, laced dialogue the woman is having. So, Greg, in your opinion, where are we going with the shutdown and the possibility of people, even this weekend, lining up in the grocery stores, get to the cash register and find their gift cards no longer work, known as EBT cards? What are we to expect, and what should Christians do in relationship to seeing that potential?
Well, you articulate very well every single day the fact that there are three institutions ordained of God: the family, the government, and the church, and we have three different roles. And if we apply the charitable standards in Scripture, they are to be applied not to government, but to us as individuals. The Scripture says, withhold not good from any man to whom good is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. There are two caveats. There are two if-then provisos in that text. The one is, good has to be due them. That means you must use discernment as to whether or not, good is due that person. You ought to help that person. Then it has to be in the power of your hand. You can't say, hey, I'm being very charitable, I'm going to vote that Joe pays for it. I'm going to vote that this public official dips into the public trough and gives to them. That's not at all the role of government. Matter of fact, it's not biblical at all. The biblical thing, charity, is every single time a personal charity. Even to the story of the Good Samaritan, that was a personal charity. He picked the man up. He helped the man. He took the man to where he could receive help. He paid the bill, and he said, I'll continue to pay the bill when I come back. So that's the model of charity. When it comes to the church helping, as opposed to this woman and her radical misunderstanding of Scripture, the church's role is to the widow indeed. And we find that in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And if you analyze that text, the widow indeed is the one that, the family is not there. They're already gone. If there's a family member that's capable of helping, guess what, folks? You have a biblical responsibility to help. That's your responsibility. You're their family member. If the family's completely gone, and if the widow is 60 years of age, and if the widow's been in continuous service to the ministry, then then the church has an obligation to do what they can to help that widow. Folks, we have so perverted charity. By the way, government can't be charitable. Government can't love. Government can't care. Government can steal from one person and give to another person. And as Margaret Thatcher said, the only problem with that is eventually you run out of other people's money. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are, because we're $38 trillion in debt. I did a little quick and dirty math the other day. I think there's 150 million ounces of gold that's supposed to be in Fort Knox. 150 million ounces. That's a lot. I don't think it's there. But if it is there, and if we just decide, hey, we're going to sell it all at once, gold's hit an all-time high. We're going to sell it for $4,000 an ounce, $4,300 an ounce. Let's sell it all. That won't pay the interest on our debt this year, folks. Do y'all realize where we're at? We keep saying, government, give us, give us, give us. Government ain't giving you anything. Government is ripping off your kids and your grandkids. The opportunity in the future will be completely hemmed up and hampered by the level of taxation required to pay the bill that you guys are running up right now and have been running up for the past 50-plus years.
Yes.
Do you understand the Obamacare stuff? It ain't free.
Exactly. Let me touch on something that I believe is a nexus. The nexus that we're seeing here with the shutdown of government and our people that are running out of EBT card funds, what we've done over the recent years is increase the amount of giving to families. In fact, one of the things that the Trump administration is doing now is saying that if you're on disability, you're on Social Security, you're on disability, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if you can work at all, you've got to work at least a day or 2 days, up to 20 hours a week, or you don't get your check anymore. So what we've seen for the past 20 or 30 years in particular is a gradual increase of socialism without calling it that, and now where there's the potential that some of that will be drawn back, the mindset is, you can't take my money. I'm deserving of that money. And it's simply a socialistic Marxist communist system that is the reason right now in New York you have a Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Islamic jihadist running for mayor, and unless God intervenes, will be the mayor of New York City. So the bottom line is, Greg, I see that we've gone past the mark of being able to pull back, and therefore many Americans, especially the younger Americans today, think that somehow, some way, they're deserving of food on the table, they're deserving of clothes on the back, they're deserving of an automobile in the driveway, they're deserving of some type of stipend or income, they're deserving of medical care, and you don't find any of that in the Constitution whatsoever. It's we have gradually plummeted into the abyss of socialism, as I see it. Speak to that, and then I'll let you go.
Well, yeah, biblically, if a man does not work, neither should he eat. Mm-hmm. The reality is we have this nation that we've been told, you know, if a person has achieved something, if they have wealth, it is because of greed. And I beg the question: which is more wrong, wanting to keep that which you've worked for, or wanting to take that which someone else has worked for? Mm-hmm. Tell me that. Explain that to me. Why is one greed and the other is somehow or another deserved?
Yes, Greg. One of the people that was interviewed on the streets in New York was a young lady. It looked like probably 25, maybe 20 years old, 20, 25 years of age, and she was all swooning about Mandami and what he was going to do: free health care, free bus, train, and shuttle care, free medical care, with all of these things given. And the question, the person with the microphone asking the question says, well, who's to pay for all of this? She said, the rich people. The rich people. Yep. That's the mindset, just as you articulated.
Yeah. How much of someone else's, you know, the fruit of their labor, how much of someone else's wealth are you entitled to? You know, within the Constitution, you see no transfer of wealth. Literally the only right you have within the Constitution, the only right that you have to another person's labor or time is a right to a trial by jury. That's the only way, only place in the Constitution that you can impose upon another person that you can say, you know what, we're going to mandate that you give up some of your time. That's a very limited time for a very limited purpose. And at the end of the day, you don't give you the money out of the pocket. you get to force them to, you know, sit in the jury box and give you a trial of your peers. That's the only place, and also within the Bible, because those are the only two governing documents for the American citizen today. The only two governing documents that have merit. For the believer, the biblical, the Bible is universally applied, and for the citizen, the Constitution ought to be universally applied. And in neither of those documents do you have a right to compel another, other than, like I say, that trial by jury. In the areas that there's compulsion, you know, when it comes to charity, that's God working on the heart of man and guiding through the Word, and that's limited to exactly what I just said. That we ought to have discernment in who that's given to. If you throw money out the window willy-nilly to every person that holds a sign says, help need food, help need money, folks, you have not followed the standard that we have in the Bible. We ought to use discernment. It ought to be in the power of our hand, and it ought to be given based on discerning a genuine need on that person's part. If somebody's lived a horrible life and they refuse to work, they don't need anything that you have. Charity or not, they don't need anything. If they have tried and they have worked and they have done the things the Lord has called them to do, and they're giving it their all, and you can discern that, well, and they're still in need, you go, let me help you. You ought to help them. Do that. That's the right thing to do. That's the Christian thing to do. That's the Bible thing to do. But stop this stuff of, oh, every person that has a little, you know, the person that has a little hurt to their belly because they're hungry. By the way, side note, folks, the number one health issue of welfare recipients in America is obesity. Number yes. one. So the notion of folks having a little pain in their tummy, they're hungry, that doesn't happen very much. Genuinely, doesn't happen very much in America. Let's be real, folks. Let's be real. Absolutely. And if your belly does hurt just a little bit because you're hungry, that should be the itch that you scratch by going out and working and getting a paycheck and buying your own food.
Absolutely.
That's what God put it there for.
Greg, one of the things that I'll add is the footnote to that. And to let you go. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg Youngblood. Greg resides up in the southern tip of heaven, known as Tennessee. He's in our city, I believe, visiting family for the next couple of days, so I'm thankful. But Greg, I go back to Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, I believe should be the order of the day for a Christian. For any Christian listening that's all caught up and confused with what to do, where to go, and how this thing's going to play out, leaving it up to God. But then the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That should be the mantra, the mindset, and the means for every child of God today, is to trust in the Lord, regardless of the days, dark as they may be, but to trust in him. Greg, thank you so much for taking time to give us a call. God bless you, and we'll talk later today, Lord willing. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, fantastic. I just got in at the tail end of that, but that's Pastor Greg, isn't it?
That's right.
That's Pastor Greg. Unbelievable wealth and knowledge he was sharing, and it's no surprise why when I heard you say that's one of my sons. It's good stuff.
We're thankful. Well, we're thankful.
I'm calling for, and I'm sorry I'm so late getting in, but I would tell you that we've got a major issue in America right now, and he touched on a lot of the points that, and I won't wear them out, but I just finished, and I think I had mentioned to you, I think it's 671 pages of the Gulag Archipelago, and anybody that wants to compare themselves or think, well, gosh, I want to be well-read, you don't necessarily have to read good books. You can listen to them, and in most cases, you can listen to them for free. So instead of scrolling down needless, you know, rabbit holes and getting caught up in what the devil wants you to do, set a plan for yourself on things you'd like to do and do it, and I wish I did it at a much younger age. But this book is a story about prisons in Russia. The Gulag is a prison, and they actually called them work camps. But there's a lot of startling things about what Russia did under Lenin, and Stalin was horrific. And some of the things that would really shock the listeners is 85% of the people that were in those prisons in Russia didn't do anything wrong. Hear me again. They didn't do anything wrong. They said something that made the governing bodies upset. They said a bad comment about Stalin or Lenin or whoever it was, or thought things aren't being handled appropriately. If we don't think that that sort of totalitarianism, Marxism, socialism, communism, and push yourself away from the table and think about this from a bigger picture now, what's going on in America and all over the world. Most Americans would agree that virtue and honesty and integrity, hand in hand with the love of the Lord and a fondness for our country, this beautiful country that we've been allowed and blessed to live in, are really a thing, and that there really is some virtue and some integrity left. But most people would agree that that goes hand in hand with a great relationship with Jesus Christ. And as you said, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, incredible verse for that. But think about this. The Democratic Party, or as I like to call them now, the Democrat Party, because you've really got to be asleep at the wheel, Galatians 3, 1, or you've really got to be evil-spirited to go with what the Democratic body is going for as a whole, period. Killing babies and on with this craziness that they're thinking is right. Here's what I would ask you to ask yourselves. When we in history had somebody who said with a noose around their neck, my only regret is I have but one life to give for my country. When we have people that swear an oath and go into battle for America, they're willing to die for their country. The Democratic Party, I don't think, is willing to die for its country, but we've seen they're willing to kill for their country. So if you or I say something that they don't like, and their leadership has said over the years, if you see somebody in a restaurant, or if you see somebody, you tell them they're not wanted here. If you do this or do that, this is a threat to democracy. This person cannot be allowed to remain in office. Well, they're hearing, take them out in whatever or by whatever means necessary. They have no value of life, guys. They're willingly killing babies. And so to just switch that to somebody that they don't like because of something that's come out of their mouth and they've said, we've been in school board meetings where people have spoken out and they're not supposed to, and the good guys don't do that for the most part, but the people with different colored hair than purple hair, people screaming and yelling, are saying things like, if I hear Jesus one more time, my head's going to explode. And then somebody will say, Jesus. But on a serious note, think about it, guys. This is what they're willing to do. They're going to hide in the shadows, and they're going to take pot shots at people, literally and figuratively, and do by whatever means necessary, legal and illegal, to take people out, including with the former head of our country, Barack Obama, who it's now been exposed that he lied about a lie.
If I could jump in for just a moment and tie some loose ends, just recently, in fact, I've got the article in my stacks, archived material, and I believe it was in London, a man said something that supposedly was negative on the social media, just asking a question about the Islamic jihadist and renaming streets, et cetera, et cetera. And as a result of that, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I go back in memory, I believe he was a Catholic priest, and they have tried him, convicted him, and he's going to be sentenced to 4 years in jail because he said something on social media that was deemed to be negative about the Islamic jihadist. That, and a person might say, well, that was London, that's not here. Listen, it's on the fast track, and in particular, if we continue to see the Islamic jihadists increasing, and they're standing up and running for office, being put in office, and especially if the largest city in America goes total Islamic jihadist to communist through the one that's running for office as mayor, we're in trouble. And it doesn't. I'm not saying that to frighten anybody that's listening.
No,
but
it,
so that as
true.
Christians
they need
and
to
conservatives,
wake up.
That's right. As Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to wake up, stand up, speak up, be verbal, visible, and victorious in our stand for Christ and for the as a patriot standing for our Constitution. Jim, if you've got time, hang on. We've got a caller on the line, and we'll have a little dialogue and discussion together. Hold just a moment.
And touch on Minneapolis. Touch on Minnesota and some of the places in the country where we now have huge portions of the elected officials that are Muslims.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Cities. Yes, sir.
And Michigan, et cetera, et cetera. Hang on a moment,
yes.
Jim. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. You are exactly on the point that is on the burden on my heart. I realize that we have toyed with evil, with the careless. We have been, what is happening, Islam has messed up countries in Europe and Great Britain with the condition of Sharia law, and yet America's, we sit, close our eyes and allow, right now we are with New York, with Islamic radical to take over New York. This is America, really. And we know that hate the Jews and hate Palestine, it don't stop there. It is behind that is hate Christians, hate America, hate yes. Christians. So we know it's real spiritual warfare, and the powers of absolutely. Darkness is desperate at
absolutely.
This time.
Lily, because of our time, let me just say this. You touched on it succinctly with Mondami that's running for mayor in New York. He hates Christians. He hates Jews. He hates America. He hates the Constitution. He hates anything that's called liberty and freedom. He is a full-fledged Islamic jihadist communist that every Christian should be in prayer saying, God, do not allow him to get elected. God, please intervene and do something to stop it. Lily, our time is up, but thank you so much for your call. We're going to take just a moment. Jose, are you on the line? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's sad to see, I'm coming from a third world country, right? They never taught us to get anything for free. You had to work your tail off. My father modeled that for our entire family. But unfortunately, this generation that is coming up from Hispanics, they come in with the same mindset. That you can apply, you get Section 8, you get food stamps, you get EBT, you get whatever, healthcare. I mean, I never had any of those. But it's the politicians. They're trying to buy people votes. Because when something like this happens, they know who's on their side. And they are doing a huge damage because that diminishes the American dream. American dream, it won't be fulfilled receiving from the government. You have to bust your tail off working hard. And that's what the Bible says. That's my comment, brother. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, Jose. Thank you so much for that. Jim, are you still there? If you're still there, yeah. If you will wrap us up for the next couple of minutes.
Yes, sir. I'd love it. Great comment as well. And I would tell you, the listeners, get involved. It's time to not be in a comfort zone. Get out of a comfort zone and get like-minded folks. Get in the Word of God and then stand up and take action against it. Please, 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 you can call me. You can call the station. Find out where to go, when to go. Get plugged into the city of Jacksonville, when the school board meetings at the school board and when the city council meetings are. And come and absolutely. Know who your representatives are in the various areas. Because, again, we're not going to change Washington, but we certainly can take responsibility for Duval and St. John's and Clay, Flagler, Nassau County. We could reach out. I went to a Baptist church up in Nassau County a few weeks ago and listened to General Flynn. Most of the Baptist churches.
Our time has completely, as the little boy says, collapsed. But thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295, FCB.